Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Heavenly Father, thank you for this story. And Lord, thank you for what is contained in the scriptures that allows us to be able to look back and see and understand and rejoice in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we learn some things tonight, Lord, from the Bible. Thank you that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. May we profit tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The title of the message tonight is New Year Advice from Bethlehem Star. New Year Advice from Bethlehem Star. I just did a quick word study. I mean, not a study, more a reading of the different places in the Bible where we find the word star and what we can discover about star and stars in the Bible. You know what we found out first? God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. I'm so glad that he added that finishing touch. I try to imagine what it would be to go out of a nighttime and look up and not see stars. I'm glad he didn't stop with just the sun and just the moon. He made the stars also. Let me say that again. God made the stars. I want to battle back against this. You can go to the university and you can study what I believe is pseudoscience, not true science, pseudoscience, and you can listen to those who have proclaimed themselves to be wise, but God has proclaimed them to be fools, to stand up and try to tell you that these stars are the result of billions and billions of years of evolution. They want to trace it all the way back to something they call a Big Bang theory, and apparently it was big, and apparently there was a bang. And they're not sure how big it was, and they're not sure what went bang, but something went bang, and that's the best they can come up with. Or you could go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and read, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I personally don't believe in the Big Bang theory. I believe in the Big Boom theory, where God said, Let there be light, and boom, there it was, all right? Everything he said, boom, there it was. And so the Big Boom theory, I think, is all right. But aren't you glad God created the stars? You know what? When God was talking to Abraham in Genesis 15, you know what? He said this, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said, So shall thy seed be. And when he selected a people, the people of Israel, he pointed up. He said it again to him in Genesis 22, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And so he used the stars to encourage a man who had been promised a son but had yet to receive it, and said, you know what, just keep the faith, keep the faith. That is how many is going to be your seed as the stars of heaven. Numbers 24, verse number 17, we see a place there where the Lord Jesus Christ is. We talked a little bit about the names of Jesus this morning. Well, there's one place in the Bible where star is capitalized because the promised one is called a star. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. In Psalms 8, God used that psalmist to write, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast made, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? And you know what? Can I say this? I think God put the stars in heaven and created the vastness of the universe every once in a while to remind us how big God is and how little we are, you know. Boy, we've built ourselves up, and mankind and their humanistic philosophies have built themselves up to be of such great importance. And the honest truth is, folks, if you take a look at us and you take a look at the vastness of creation, you know what? I agree with the psalmist here. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? In Psalms 147, I love this. The Bible says there, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. I love this. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. You imagine such a thing. You know what? I wish I could remember every name of every bus kid that came to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Some of these poor kids, I've probably asked them 7 times, what's your name again? And here God can look out and see all of the stars in the universe, and he knows them by name. He calls them by name. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. I wonder if when we get to the Bethlehem story, I wonder if when it was time for God to bring that star over and choose it, and I wonder if he just called it by its name. And you know what? The star looked up and the Creator called me by name, and he wants me to do something. And so I think he rushed to the opportunity. By the way, it'd be good for us to have that same attitude towards opportunities to serve the Lord. Psalms 148 tells us that the stars are involved in praising the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise ye him, all his angels, praise ye him, all his hosts, praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. You know what? I think one of the neat things about stars is the way they twinkle. You grew up hearing this, twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what that you are. And you know what? You look up there and you see the variation of the light. And you say, well, preacher, there's a scientific explanation for that. Well, there may very well be, but I kind of like this explanation. Maybe they're just getting excited about praising the Lord. Amen. I mean, the Bible says that the trees clap their hands. You see the wind move, and the trees have been out in the woods and see that wind move, and the trees are going like this. And oh my goodness, somebody did that during a song at Blessed Hope. You'd want them ushered out, amen. But the trees, you know what? They clap their hands. They're excited about praising the Lord. And the stars twinkle praises to God. And here, it's hard to get a holy grunt out of some Christians about anything, you know. But I think we can learn something from the stars. How about that? All of these things and more. But that's not the focus tonight. We're going to look at just one star. And if I could bring that star back and God would energize it again and it would come and stand over Blessed Old Baptist Church and we could say, hey, we're going into 2017. You got some advice for us? I think maybe he'd tell us 5 things. Here's the first thing. Make sure you belong to Jesus. Look at verse number 2, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen, there's a personal pronoun there, his star. And you know what? That star belonged to Jesus. And you know what? I think that the first thing the star would say is this. You know what? I belong to Jesus. Do y'all belong to Jesus? Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. I didn't ask you if you believed in God. I didn't ask you if you have a religion or a denomination. I ask you, have you been born again? The Bible says, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. There has to be that salvation experience, that second birth. And you know what? I'm glad I can stand up here and say, not because of any good in me, I'm glad that I can stand up here and say, I belong to Jesus. He offered me the gift of eternal life, and you know what? I grabbed it. I took it, and it's been the best decision I ever made. I think the star would say, make sure you belong to Jesus. I think it would say this. Listen, let me give you some advice for the 2017. Be willing to shine brightly. Look at verse number 2. The verse number 2 says this, for we have seen his star. And verse number 7, which time the star appeared. Verse number 9, and lo, the star which they saw. So there was something about this star that drew their attention. And the Bible's not specific in this, but I have an idea that stars being stars, that the best way they could draw the attention and become an unusual thing, a spectacle, was to shine a little brighter than the stars around them. You know what, folks? Let's do that. Let's do that. I want you to please listen to me. I can't believe that I have to fuss and fight over this, or I have to defend this as if it's an unusual thing. You know what, folks? Christians ought to look different than the world. They ought to act different than the world. They ought to be different than the world. If we blend into the darkness, what hope does anyone have of seeing the light? Is this biblical? Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Not just life, the light of life. True eternal life, true salvation causes a light to begin to shine in you. John 9, verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Then in John 12, 46, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. I am come a light in the world. Why? Why was he coming as a light that whosoever believeth in him should not abide in darkness? You know what? Jesus came to show people there's something different here. He didn't come as darkness. He came as light. And then, of course, the admonition in Matthew chapter 5, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And in Luke 11, verse 35, take this warning, Christians. Take heed, therefore, Jesus' words, red letter words, take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. And that's a grief. That's a grief to this preacher. I feel like we've preached what we've always preached around here, and I get more people pushing back on it than ever before. What's wrong with us that we want to blend into the world? Me and my wife was on vacation. It's been a couple years ago, and we took the opportunity to visit a church. I'm not going to tell you where. It's not important. But it was a Baptist church, an independent Baptist church. But when we walked in, it didn't resemble anything I knew. And by the way, folks, listen to me. You can leave this church and salve your conscience by going to a quote-unquote independent fundamental Baptist church that is no more independent and fundamental than any of the liberal churches, denomination churches here in town, okay? And if they're teaching you to blend in with darkness, you're in the wrong church. Well, we walked into this church, and there was some folks that we knew. That's why we chose this church to go, because we would have spent time with some folks that we wanted to spend some time with. But, boy, what a stark difference. And I looked around trying to decide who the preacher was, and I couldn't figure out who he was. Didn't even see anybody that even looked like a preacher. And I wonder, well, who the preacher's wife is? And, you know, as the service began to start, what I do a lot of times, I by the way, good thing for you to do here, I look around in a congregation, even if I'm not from a church, I look around and try to figure out, just kind of by looking, if there's somebody in there that looks like maybe, you know what, they've come in, they don't look like a Christian, they're different, we can pray for them, we can ask God, maybe, hey, let's start praying. Problem is, pretty much they all looked like they had just come in out of the world. Preacher walked up behind the pulpit, didn't look like a preacher, didn't have his hair cut as a preacher ought to have his hair cut. By the way, the Bible still says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Wasn't wearing a tie. And then his wife, we met the people we went to visit, wanted to introduce us to our pastor's wife, and here she comes, and she's got a short skirt on, and a heavily plastered makeup, and just, I mean, folks, I'm sorry, but she looked like she was going to the bar, not to church, all right? And she said, I'm so glad that you came, and she was very nice, and I said, yes, I said, I'd already met her husband. I said, I met your husband, the pastor. And first thing out of her mouth was, you know what I like about him? He doesn't look like a pastor. I mean, I didn't even bring it up. But we looked like we look. Okay? And she knew I was a pastor. And by the way, I think I looked like a pastor. So, you know what, folks, listen. And they're always saying, well, you're attacking. They're the ones that bring it up. I don't have to bring it up. The one thing I like about it is he doesn't look like a pastor, and I had to agree with her. I said, yeah, you've accomplished that. And I wanted to say, you don't look much like a preacher's wife either. And she said one of the things that we made a decision on, and again, why is she so defensive? I'm just there as a visitor. What's her problem? I'll tell you why. Light came in. So let's defend the darkness. We've taken the candle and put it under a bushel. We've hid it. We want to blend in. We want to look like the world, act like the world, smell like the world, go where the world goes. Well, let me ask you this, folks. Good night. If the light is darkness, how do people find the light? How do they find Jesus? Jesus didn't come in disguised. He didn't come in to blend in. You know what he showed up? He showed up. He was a light of the world. And you know what? By the way, that thing I said about long hair, I hadn't said this in a long time. I just might as well hit that. Jesus didn't have long hair. All right, I've seen a picture. You got the original Polaroid, do you? I'd like to see where that original came from. Now, you've seen something that an artist decided that he would draw, that he decided would look like Jesus, but Jesus didn't have long hair. I can't believe I'm hearing this. Yeah, Jesus didn't have long hair. You know what? The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Jesus would not do anything that would shame the Father. Isn't this good when you just base what you believe on the Bible? Okay, just because somebody drew a picture one time, 1,400 years after Jesus had been crucified, and said, this is what Jesus looks like. The whole Christian world says, well, it must be. Well, come on, let's be smarter than that. And so, listen, what I'm saying is, listen, we ought to look different than the world. How much different from the world should we be? As much different as light is from darkness. So here this pastor's wife that don't look a pastor like a pastor's wife, and her pastor husband that don't look like a pastor. And then I thought to myself, well, it's no wonder that they have an entire church where Christians don't look like Christians. What in the world are we doing? What I'm saying is this, if we'd listen to Bethlehem Star, he'd say this in 2017, please listen. He might look down and say, hey, why are some of your church members slipping and sliding in this area? Why are they working harder at looking like unsaved people than saved people? Why is it that they're so thin-skinned that they can't stand to have to stand out a little bit? I mean, what's happened? When I had an opportunity to shine for Jesus, I shined as bright as I could because I wanted to bring people to him that were looking for him. I think we could learn something from a star. Number three, I think he would say this. Spend your life leading men to Jesus. Verse number 9, look down at verse number 9. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Went before then. Now, folks, listen to me. You're going to be glad one of these days at the judgment seat if you just spend your life bringing people to Jesus. Just as much as possible, bring people to Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. I can't tell you what this morning's service did to encourage your pastor's heart. And I mean this. I guess there's a group of people in my church. There's several groups that I'm amazed with, and I mean that. But there's a group in my church that I just am in awe of. And can I tell you who they are? Our bus kids. I mean, you know, we hear me and Brother Chatter on the phone, and I promise you, we try to make wise decisions and good decisions and safe decisions. And I know some of you are clear over here. I mean, one snowflake or forget below 20, you want us to cancel everything. And then there's some of you that we could have the blizzard of 78, and you'd say, preacher, we need to go get a snow plow and get them bus kids, amen, you know. And, you know, we just try to make the best decision we can. But you know what, I'm in my office, and the phone keeps ringing. And you know who it is? It's mothers of bus kids. And they're saying, hey, preacher, you're going to run the buses, aren't you? My kids are ready. Are they going to get to come to church? And I honestly had convinced myself, we'll run the bus. I told my wife, we'll run the buses this morning. But in this weather, you know what? There's not going to be a whole lot of them come. And I was watching the buses unload this morning, and I look back at the bus attendants, and I'm watching the place fill. Now, think about this. Come on, Blessed Hope Core kids. These are not kids that are being made to come to church. Why don't you get a little bus kid religion, amen? I mean, they're standing out there peeking out the window. I get phone calls. My kid's crying. The bus went by and didn't stop. Amen. Maybe we need a little bus kid religion around here. Amen. I mean, you know what? That did my heart so much good. I thought to myself, you know, it's amazing. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really understand that. I was talking to Brother Jeff Scales. I went back after the sermon tonight, this morning. I went back, and he was back in the foyer getting ready to help with the door and all of that. And I looked at her. I said, I just can't believe it. Did you see how many kids? I just can't believe it. And he said to me, he said, well, preacher, you just spent the morning service lifting up Jesus. You know what? If you keep lifting him up, people will keep coming. And I said, praise God. Praise God. I mean, there's really no other explanation for it. I mean, it's 18 degrees at 7 o'clock this morning and 3-degree wind chill factor, and we're trying to decide whether we ought to run it. And then here these children come in, and I think to myself, and adults coming in, and bus teens coming in, and they're excited, and they want to be here. Whew, praise the Lord. You know what I think I'll do? I think I'll just spend my life trying to lead people to Jesus, just trying to get them to Jesus. I don't know of any better way. Now, at the judgment seat, you'll be glad. The Bible says in Daniel 12, verse 2 and 3, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, watch this, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. But they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars. Here, we talk about stars tonight? As the stars forever and ever. How neat is that? Say, preacher, what does that mean? That means what it says. If you spend your life turning many to righteousness, that in eternity you'll shine as the stars forever and ever. You say, do you believe our glorified bodies will differ as far as in illumination? I absolutely do, because the Bible teaches that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, okay, brightness of the sun. There's another glory of the moon, brightness of the moon. Glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Well, as long as I get there, what a sad, by the way, you're a sorry Christian. Let me say it again. You're a sorry Christian. Well, hey, at least I'm saved. As long as I get there, I'll be happy. I'm not concerned about how I live or what I do or whether I shine bright or whether I lead anybody to Jesus. Let me say it again. You're a sorry Christian. What a selfish, wicked thing to say. Good night. You say, well, you know, at least we'll all get in. We'll all, you know, I think the judgment seat's going to be a lot different than you think. I imagine Brother Paul's going to shine pretty bright. Amen. I mean, he burned himself out. He worked as hard as he could. Even when they threw him in jail, you know what? He was winning people in jail to Jesus Christ. And you know what? When they took him to Nero's house, he was winning Nero's household to the Lord while he was waiting for execution day. Boy, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. I mean it. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. You say, oh, well, it's all going to be even. It's not going to all be even. We'll all get the same. We're not all going to get the same. We're not all going to look the same. How about that? Listen, folks, every one of you that worked hard this week, I mean, I'm talking to some. I'm not trying to, you know, break up glass ornaments and sprinkle it in your eggnog and ruin your Christmas, all right? But I'm trying to get you to understand something. Everything we do around, I mean, if you haven't picked up one gospel track back there, because no matter what the preacher says or whatever challenge put before you, you know, you just don't do it. You know what? I don't know what your glorified body's going to look like, but it's going to be pretty pathetic. For all eternity, people's going to look over and say, well, there's somebody that got saved but didn't much care. How about that? Well, heaven's just going to be, by the way, heaven's going to be great. Heaven's going to be wonderful. We get to be with Jesus. Amen. No pain, no sickness, no death. But don't think that what's done in this earth does not carry over into eternity. As far as the rewards, as far as God and his blessings upon us, what I'm saying is this. You know what? If you'd listen to that star, when he got a chance to shine bright, he did it. When he had a chance to lead people to Jesus, he did it. Just take the opportunities God gives you. They're different than my opportunities. Your world's different than my world. Who you interact is different with who I interact. Take advantage of your opportunities to bring somebody to Jesus. Wait a minute, he's saying something else. Here's some more advice. Here's a good one. Number 4, take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 9, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Say, preacher, where do you stand? Well, it's real easy for me to answer that question. Where do you stand? I stand wherever Jesus is. That's where I'm going to stand. Okay, he was the living word. This is the written word. What I found out is they pretty much reflect each other. So as I study the Bible, I know what Jesus believed. I know where he stands. That's why I don't have any trouble getting up here and saying things like Jesus didn't have long hair. You know why? I know what the Bible says. I stand where the Bible stands. You know what? In the beginning was the Word. And so Jesus, we talk about the names of Jesus. I may just go on a tirade on that and preach for about six Sunday mornings on just the different names of Jesus. But you know what? He's the Word. Okay, well, I don't think Jesus much cares about that. If this book says that it cares about it, I promise you Jesus cares about it. Now, folks, listen, what I'm trying to do here and what we're doing here, and I think we're doing a good job, I hope we are, is producing some Bible-believing Christians. Where we stand is where the Bible stands. And where I stand, I want to stand for Jesus. You know, that star didn't just lead people to Jesus when he got there. He stood where Jesus was. Stood over the, you know what, as a Christian, you're going to have to make some stands. You're going to have to take some stands. I think that star's telling us, get ready in 2017. It's not going to get easier to be a Christian. It's going to be more difficult to be a Christian. It's not going to be easier to stand for right. It's going to be more difficult to stand for right. You know what we need at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? We need some adults that'll stand up for Jesus. I mean, go to the workplace and stand up for him. You hear somebody blaspheming Jesus, you're just going to sit there mute mouth. You're not going to stand up for your Savior. He, by the way, he died for you. He stood up for you. He came for you. He walked up that hill for you. He died for you. You can't stand up for him. Revelation chapter 1, we're talking about stars, aren't we? Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, we have that beautiful vision of the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified body. And it says, and he had in his right hand seven stars. The unlocking of the mystery of those seven stars is found in verse 20. And the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And the angels, those stars representing the messengers or the ministers, the pastors of those churches. And I wish today that more of the stars that are in the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ would take the advice from Bethlehem Star and learn to stand for some things. I'm watching preachers all over America compromise. There's churches I went to 5 years ago. There's churches I went to preach at 5 years ago, 10 years ago that I could never go back to now. There's groups of people in fundamentalism that I used to be able to go and preach for and support. And you know what? I've had to pass now. There's friends, and I mean this, friends of a lifetime. Men that trained with me in the ministry. And we had the same heart and the same vision. And you know what? I could no more preach for them or have them preach for me than the man on the moon. What happened? They didn't stand. You know what? I'm one of those stars in the right hand of Jesus. And one of these days, I'm going to have to stand before him and answer to him for my faithfulness to this book and my faithfulness to my Savior. And let me say this, and I don't want it to sound mean-spirited at all, but you know what? If every single one of you decided tomorrow that you didn't want a Bible preacher and you didn't want someone standing for this book and you weren't going to come in here unless I changed, then you know what? I'd preach next Sunday to an empty house, but I'm not changing because I'm not going to stand before you one day and answer for where I stand. I'm going to stand one day before him. And you know what I'm going to answer to as far as my faithfulness to this book? Say, preacher, is it worth it? Absolutely, it's worth it. All right. You know why? Because there's a judgment scene. Now, listen, folks, and by the way, thank you that I can say those things, and for the vast majority of you are for that and with me, and a few of you are trying to decide whether you are or not, amen, but it's not going to matter. I mean, you can take a vote and take an opinion poll, and you can murmur and complain and get on Facebook and whine, and it isn't going to change a thing. Write notes, stick it under my desk. I need something to start kindling. I got a fireplace at home. Give me something to start a fire with, but excuse me. You know what, ma'am? There isn't a woman in the world that's ever bothered me or scared me. It's going to cause me to change one thing I say in my pulpit. There's no pouty little teenage girl that all of a sudden is going to change her attitude about something. All of a sudden, I'm going to change what I say up here. So, you know what? I've done it for a long time. Amen. Every once in a while, it's just good a preacher says this, all right? Okay? But listen, folks, it's not just preachers that need to be standing. Every one of you, as you go into 2017, God's going to put you in situations to test you. Will you stand? Will you stand up for me? Will you stand for Jesus? Well, this is good advice from a star. A star. Let me give you the last piece of advice and we'll be done. Number 5, spend your life bringing joy to others. Look at verse 10. This is a good place to end tonight. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And I think that that star, if it could lean down and say something, by the way, good advice for the Christmas season, but good advice for January and February and March and April. You know what that star did? That star caused people to rejoice. And you know what, folks? Let me say this. Brother Howes used to do a radio broadcast, and at the end of it, he'd say this. He closed it the same way every time. He'd say at the end of his broadcast, be good to everyone because everyone's having a tough time. And goodbye from the pastor study. That's how it ended. Can I say to you this? Please listen. Be good to everyone because everyone's having a tough time. And goodbye. You know something? If you got a chance to bring a little joy into somebody's life, don't miss it. Children, young people, I want you to listen. Please listen to me. I'm going to challenge you right now. 3 John, the 4th verse, says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Young people, children, I want you to set as a goal of 2017 to bring joy to the hearts of your mom and dad. What do I do to bring joy? Walk in truth. Walk in truth. Preacher, it takes so much to make you happy. It takes so much to make mom and dad happy. No, it doesn't. Do right. Do right. Walk in truth. Be somebody they can be proud of. Stand for right. Be right. Do right. I don't expect perfection, and neither does your parents. But we want you to see you trying to do the right thing. I'm going to say this also. Not only should the children spend the 2017 trying to bring joy to their mom and dad's heart, but all of us, I think, ought to spend 2017 trying to bring joy to God's heart. I read this and it struck me. Let me finish with this. But the parable of the talents and what is said for those that did right and what we, I think, set up and aspire to hear ourselves. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. By the way, we often quote just that part of the verse, but listen to all of it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. And then the way this ends is interesting. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And you know what that verse is telling us? You know what? It's going to be a good day at the judgment seat if you'll do the right thing and live right and be right and take this good advice tonight from a star. Because not only will you hear well done for being a good and faithful servant, but you know what? According to your faithfulness over the few things God's asked us to be faithful over, he's going to reward us with opportunity to be faithful over many things. But here's the best part. We get to enter into the joy of thy Lord, of our Lord. And you know what I think is going to mean more than anything come judgment seat day? Is living a life that I see brings joy to God the Father, brings joy to God the Son, brings joy to God the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to be there in heaven saying to the Father, here's not one I had to fight against all the time. Here's the one that came to seek me and asked me to fill him and asked me to lead him and was super obedient to my leading and tender to my conviction. And I want the Holy Spirit to have joy when I come. It's good to see him. I want Jesus to look down and have some joy. I mean, I think there's going to be enough sadness at the judgment seat. I think there's going to be enough regrets. I think there's going to be enough that come where Jesus has to look at the Father and say, well, they did receive me as Savior. But the Bible says, by the way, the Bible says if we are ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us in that day. It's in the Bible. Well, I'll get in. Yeah, I know you'll get in. Because you know what? God's grace and mercy has made a way. But you do you really want judgment day for, you know, God the Son, Jesus, to have to look at the Father and say, when they call your name, now, Father, this is Joel Jerry Ross. And yeah, he got saved. He's one of ours. But Father, I've got to tell you, I'm ashamed of him. I'm ashamed of him. He wouldn't stand for me, wouldn't be faithful. More interested in loving the world. I mean, do you think that's going to be a good day for Demas? You better think about it. Only one life, so soon it is past. Only what's done for Christ will last. But you know what's the other side of that coin? You know, folks, I'm not going to accomplish what D.L. Moody accomplished, but God didn't call me to beat D.L. Moody. And I'm not going to accomplish what Spurgeon accomplished, but God didn't call me to be Spurgeon. You know what God says? Be faithful in the few things that I've given you to do. Well done, thou good preacher. I'm not a great Christian. Be a good Christian then. Good and faithful. You can be faithful. Anybody can be faithful. Hey, J.K. can be faithful. Mark can be faithful. Anthony can be faithful. If they can be faithful, can't we be faithful? Amen. I like Anthony. I like a guy that amens a lot. And some of you are going to have to be careful because whatever you say around him, he's going to repeat it, all right? I shouldn't tell this on him, but I'm going to. A.J. Nichols. Now, some of you really don't know A.J. that well, but him and his brother Justin are stinkers sometimes. I mean, they are just rotten. Because they're preacher's kids, so this goes without saying. They had a mentally retarded man that came to their church that anything that they would say, he would shout out and repeat. So AJ and Justin would sit behind him and not say it loud enough for their dad to hear it, but just say kind of like crazy things, you know. They'd say, peanut butter's good. Peanut butter's good! Just... rotten kid. He's a rotten. I mean, a good thing my daughter married him so he has a chance to be right with God in his life. In at least one area of his life, he's got a chance. I mean, rotten. Now I've given some of you an idea. I'm going to have all the teenagers sitting around Anthony. If I hear him yell about anything about peanut butter, somebody's in trouble around him. I want to enter into the joy of the Lord. I mean folks, listen, I don't think that there's anything on this earth in that moment that you're going to look back and think is more important than seeing Jesus smile, to feel his warm embrace, to have him hold you at arm's length and look into his eyes, have him say, well done. When others wouldn't stand, you stood. When others decided darkness was more attractive than light, you were willing to be different. I just think that day is going to be a glorious day. And you know what? I wouldn't trade that day for all of the popularity of this world. I wouldn't trade it for anything. And so if Bethlehem Star were to come and visit above Blessed Hope, I think that's some of the things he would tell us. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, stir us. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, we want to be better. We're never going to be like you until we awaken your image. And Lord, thank you for remembering that we're but dust. And Lord, I believe that all hearts join in this prayer. Forgive us for so many times falling short of what we should be. But Lord, if you tarry, we're going to get a brand new unused year. I mean, lily white, blank pages, new opportunity. Lord, we've gotten some good advice. And you put this star in this story for a reason, and I think it's taught us what we needed to be taught tonight. May we heed it. We pray in Jesus' name.